You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
And now, it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thanks for making us part of your Monday. You know, every time I hear this song, Ben, I can't help but thinking...
Sunday?
How much I dislike you two.
Oh.
What a dreadful band and song.
I like this song. I like early U2. I'm not big late U2, which is 2000, which is now 25 years ago, which is crazy. But yeah, that era, when they kind of had that huge album... Hugh, whatever it was called. That's when I kind of soured on them. But I don't mind this old stuff.
You're not going to like today, then.
No, and I know I'm offending people because they're, you know, U2 fans are very, like, dedicated U2 fans. But, yeah, hard pass.
They're, man, arguably the biggest rock band of our life.
No.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely.
I'm wearing a Rolling Stones t-shirt.
Not in their prime in our life at all.
Oh, I'd say the Chili Peppers were a bigger band in their prime.
I mean, and haven't lasted anywhere near as long, but okay. I mean, I know
still
they're still
cranking
around,
out tunes.
U2 is still making like actively.
No, they don't. When was the last U2 album?
Remember when it showed up on everybody's iPhone? Everyone was like, what the hell is going on?
30 years ago.
It was like 6 years ago. And they're selling out that huge bubble or whatever in Las Vegas, the Sphere in Las Vegas, for like $3,000 a ticket or whatever it is. Yeah, they're still enormous.
They're not doing that anymore. And, of course, they need a gimmick to sell tickets. The music ain't doing it.
No, people are still huge U2 fans.
What's his name, the lead singer, Bono? He was in Sing 2.
Was he?
And that might be the only thing he's ever done that I've liked. He's the lion.
Okay.
Have you seen Sing 2?
Yeah, just wrapped up March 2nd. They wrapped up their residency.
Thank goodness.
At the Sphere.
Get on with it.
Hey, no, I told you, I'm not a huge U2 guy either, but hard to argue with their popularity.
They're charging like $3,000 a ticket to go see like nature documentaries at that Sphere thing.
Yeah.
They're taking advantage of the uniqueness of it.
Yep.
Which I can't wait till tickets prices drop a little bit because I'd love to see something there. I bet it's incredible.
Yeah, sounds cool.
I almost hate to support James Dolan in anything, but that is tempting. And it's kind of a cool part of the Vegas skyline now.
Yeah, it's unique. There's two of them, right?
Is there?
There's another one somewhere else. Or they were building another one somewhere else. But yeah, this might have been the prototype.
Omaha?
I think that's where they were putting it. Omaha, Nebraska.
I mean, that's where I'd put it. Sarah, how was your weekend? Do all right?
Yeah.
You had to put up with Hatch and Michelle on the Saturday show. How'd that go?
Wasn't bad. They're not the worst people to work with.
Why are you shaking your head no? Why are you shaking your head like
I am not shaking my head.
I still love the technical foul segment. That's my favorite. Did you have a nice weekend, Ben?
A+ weekend. Got the mower out.
How'd that go?
That was nice.
This start?
First try.
First pull?
Love a Honda.
Wow.
Yeah, I trust a Honda.
God, that's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Didn't even put new gas in it or anything. Same old gas. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that thing will survive the apocalypse. That's great.
That's always nice.
When whatever the future race is that inhabits this planet, all they're going to find is cockroaches and Honda lawnmowers. What the hell were these people doing?
Man, I put up with an unreliable snowblower for so long. I just go out there when there's just a mountain of snow on the driveway and just yank on that thing for like 45 minutes until it turned over. just the worst. How nice is it to go out, cold start,
yep,
your darn lawnmower. Oh, I know, first world problem or whatever, but home run there, Ben.
No, it was. I felt the same way.
Home run.
Because I was like, I don't want to do this. It was cold over the weekend,
yeah,
but I had a couple of windows to mow, and I was like, all right, we'll just get it done. No basketball games on at the moment. We'll squeeze it in. I have a very big yard. It doesn't take very long.
Man, I was reminded how much I don't like spring sports in Utah over the weekend. Woke up Saturday to, you know, a yard full of snow, and looked in my email hoping to see that email from the Rec Soccer League saying,
too cold.
Too cold.
Stay
let's
home.
Not play. That email never came, Ben. So it wasn't too bad, but did spend, you know, she had a 9:30 soccer game.
Cold.
Shivering out there.
It's cold. Poor kids. Makes them
tough. It does make them tough,
yeah,
but, you know, it's no fun as a spectator.
I would be layered up.
That's exactly
what happened. Lots of layers, lots of hot beverages.
Exactly. Anyway, spring sports are underway in Utah.
Indoor sports only for us.
I mean, I remember, like, as a playing baseball growing up, you remember tryouts, you know, stuff like that, and it was either gorgeous and sunny or snowing.
Yep.
And you dreaded it when it snowed because they still, you know, of course, those coaches still made you hit, you know,
right,
tryouts and all that. And
sting those hands.
Oh, it would hurt so bad, yep, every time you even, like, a foul ball. You
I draw
just
a lot of
dreaded
walks,
it.
Coach.
Oh, I'm going to stand up here with my bat on my shoulder. This is batting practice. We're throwing you strike. Ah, you know, I'm going to be picky.
It's the Euclid approach.
Make sure I get my pitch.
Never swing at the first pitch, coach.
Oh, man. But anyway, so to all those parents who stood in the snow watching soccer games and various things, I salute you.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Well, good on you.
Parent win. All right, Ben, we have a lot to talk about. The favorites are in the championship game in the NCAA tournament. How boring.
I can't wait. This is the most excited I've been for a college national championship game in a very long time.
Really?
I'm
Why?
Really excited to watch Donovan Klingon and Zach Edey play. That's awesome. We haven't had a premier matchup of star players like this that I can remember in a very long time. Like, star on star, power on power. Zach Edey is the best player in college basketball. The only player who's even remotely close to his size is Donovan Klingon. They're both going to be first-round draft picks. Like, this is a cool matchup. This is a throwback heavyweight matchup that we used to see in college basketball that I don't remember seeing in a very long time. So that part of it's cool. I think UConn is going to end in a double-digit victory because I think they're too athletic for Purdue, and their wings are too big, and they have other lottery picks on the roster, but I'm excited to see those two. I'm excited to see if Klingon can do anything against Edey. That's what I'm excited for. And then we had great college basketball news yesterday night that broke out of nowhere.
Yeah, we broke it on the postgame show.
Oh, did you? That's kind of fun.
Well, I don't know. I'm not that thrilled. I like an underdog story, and that's not really what we're getting. But,
no.
I mean, you're getting the two best teams in college basketball. So if that rarely happens.
Agreed.
In the NCAA tournament, and it did happen, so I can see where you're coming from. I don't know. I'm having a tough time juicing. I mean, I'm not, like, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be into it, but I don't know. I wish NC State was there. That's what I
sure.
just keep watching and thinking, man, I wish the Mighty Wolfpack were still playing and not this stiff from Perdon't. But Hurley's a good coach.
Great coach.
That's
yeah.
who I'd hire if I was Kentucky. If you want to
he's not leaving,
merge the two stories, that's who I'd hire.
I don't know why you would leave UConn after back-to-back titles.
Yeah, because Kentucky's going to pay you like $20 million a
Maybe.
Year or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not like UConn can afford whatever because they don't care about football.
Right.
Just like Kentucky, so they'll shovel everything his way. I would doubt he's – but that would be my first phone
he's
call.
He's also pretty slick, right, Hurley? He's like – he's very northeastern – waspy guy, right? Like,
yeah.
He's not that Kentucky. He's not kind of that historic type of coach they've had. He makes total sense at UConn to me.
Yeah, but he probably hates Geno like everybody else and can't wait to get out of that
Maybe.
Building.
Maybe.
I just, the working conditions, I got to get out of here. I don't think he's leaving, but that'd be my first phone call. It'll be interesting to see where Kentucky goes. Of course, there's a local tie there. Does Mark Pope go home, so to speak?
I'd be stunned.
Why stunned? I wouldn't be stunned.
I bet he's not even on the short list. Had they had more success in the tournament, maybe. But the guys that are going to get opportunities first, that someone will take the job before it gets to Mark Pope. Nate Oates, I know he has a huge buyout, but has done an incredible job at Alabama. That's obviously the first name. A lot of rumors about Billy Donovan, who we last saw in college basketball winning back-to-back titles with Florida. Probably out at Chicago this year. He might have interest in the job, though. I wouldn't want to go NBA to college basketball, but it's Kentucky. It's not traditional college basketball. There's some good names out there.
Well,
Scott Drew.
Billy Donovan, not a good coach.
The interesting thing would be if Scott Drew takes the job, does Baylor call Mark Pope? That might be what's interesting. I don't think Mark Pope jumps to Kentucky, but does he get a secondary job? Because, again, this all happened because did SMU's coach quit or did he get fired?
It doesn't matter.
Because Andy Enfield
was
takes that
going,
job.
He was going to get fired. And actually, I think we have two of this circumstance, Ben, where both coaches were told by the university, like, look, save some face, find another gig. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure USC told Enfield, like, we're moving on from you. If you can find another gig, then maybe we can mutually kind of all look decent in this circumstance. I mean, why else would you take SMU? And I 100% think that's what Calipari is doing in Kentucky.
I think he saw the writing on the wall and didn't want to overstay his welcome.
Yeah, Kentucky told him, like, Cal, we're moving on. And we don't care how much it's going to cost because we're Kentucky, so we'll buy you out.
I'm not sure I understand the Musselman move in retrospect, going to USC, other than they must be paying him a fortune. But so can Arkansas, because they're giving Coach Cal $15 million a year or whatever it costs. I don't understand that move. Musselman's been really good at Arkansas. Two Elite Eight runs, right? A Sweet 16?
Rather be in Southern California.
Probably. But, I mean, we've talked on the show. I told you I talked to somebody who knows college basketball in that area of the world better than I do. Who says, yeah, the money at Arkansas is stupid. The money they will spend on their basketball team is crazy. And I didn't learn until last night. It's the Tyson Chicken Air billionaire who's funding all this movement in Arkansas and was the one going out and buying Anthony Black and all these guys who have been lottery picks in recent years.
But see, the muscle man has been to the pinnacle and back. He's probably looking for other things other than just blind college basketball ambition, honestly. Because, what, he's been a coach in the NBA. He's had his... Basically, his career ended, and then he rehabbed his career at multiple places. You know, leaving Nevada for Arkansas is kind of a no-brainer, no offense to the biggest little college basketball program in the country. But it wouldn't surprise me if a guy like that's like, yeah, I'd rather live in Orange County or whatever and have the lifestyle that I'm looking for at a football school where the pressure to win in basketball. I mean, look, Andy Enfield has underachieved for his entire run at USC, and it lasted like 7 years, which seems crazy to me. But I'm not so sure the Bustle Man is looking for college basketball glory as much as he is like, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
It's not that great. I'd rather.
And he may want to be in the Big Ten, and I'm sure USC offered him a ton of money, and yeah, Southern California.
All he has, right.
All the things.
All he has to do is finish middle of the league. And he's going to have a job for 10 years.
Make the tournament.
Right.
Which you should
once
be
in a
able
while.
To
I
do.
Don't even think he has to do it every year.
You should be able to do it at USC because they've already shown a willingness to buy the recruits.
But Enfield didn't make the tournament every year, not even close.
No, right. He's a bad coach.
And even now we're talking about he wasn't technically fired.
Right.
So I can see it. But I think Calipari, I would be shocked if he didn't get some sort of buyout on his contract by other means. Like, because leaving $30-plus million on the table, and I know his contract with Arkansas will make up that money, but make up. It'll take him 3 years to make up that money. He could have had that money and taken the Arkansas job if he had just made Kentucky fire him, which he easily could have done. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was, like, a $10 million, hey, we got a booster to pay you $10 million. Go take that deal in Arkansas, and we're not going to give you the whole 30, but... And give you a nice little thanks for the effort sum. Now go take that job, and we all save face.
It's a weird move. It's a downgrade, right? Like,
that's the same thing as the SMU move, yeah.
Is not a, or Arkansas is not a better job than Kentucky. And I don't think Coach Cal is a very good coach. I mean, I think we agree on that, right?
Yes, we do.
He's a great recruiter. He's had Kentucky's name to help him recruit. Do those kids follow him to Arkansas? He's got the number two recruiting class next year. How many of those, you know, top 15 recruits follow him? I don't know. Arkansas can probably pay more. Crazy enough, because they're investing in Coach Cal, they probably also gave him $10 million to recruit with or whatever it costs to build a team next year because they want to be relevant. It's funny because that's also not the way teams are winning in college basketball anymore. I mean, look at Zach Edey. But look at Donovan Klingon being a second-year big man.
He might change his style, though, in Arkansas because it's a less glamorous spot for freshmen.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And I don't know if he's good enough to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you even give him the pieces if he can make the adjustments. He didn't know how to attack Oakland's zone defense.
Yeah,
and that's how Oakland plays all year, and he didn't know what to do about it.
But that's the thing is, what's his true skill is taking credit for uberly talented players.
Right.
But the uberly talented players that are winning right now are not
freshmen. Yeah, not like that.
No, because you can get veteran players on every team now,
and kids will stick around.
Yeah.
Kids will stick around if they can continue.
He should change his game plan.
$500,000 playing, a sophomore season, where versus just saying, well, I'm going to leave regardless, and if I'm a late second round pick, it's fine. No, kids will come back. So, you're getting older schools having more advantage. UConn's a great example of that right now. They lost 5 guys last year, but they brought back arguably their most important piece in Klingon, and he made a bunch of money, I'm sure, at UConn this year. Ironically, did you see the complaint that Zach Edey can't make money because he's Canadian?
No.
Zach Edey's on a work visa or a school visa.
Yeah, yeah.
So he can't make money. So he's missing out on millions of dollars in NIL, at least hundreds of thousands, but probably easily a million. He's the best player in college basketball and can't make any money.
Well, yeah, we don't care about the boot for Canadians. Not our problem.
Yeah.
Student visa, man. He can't work.
Sorry, bud.
Want to go back?
Want to go play in Canada?
Knock yourself right out.
Can play in whatever league they have
up
there.
I hear the University of Ontario has a baller team.
But anyway, it's kind of interesting. It was a fun college basketball. I have one friend who's a Kentucky fan, and I was texting him immediately, and he was excited. And then I asked him about Mark Pope, and he mentioned all these other names too, and it was interesting. So Mark Pope is not out of the tornado, right? He's not out of the, but I think it's a secondary move. I don't think it's front runner for Kentucky.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd take it.
And he better interview for it, right? Like,
yeah.
At least go interview. Might as well. If you get the opportunity, you might as well throw your name in the
hat. If it is a secondary thing, if I'm him, I don't know if I do move, actually. Because speaking of bringing players back, it would appear he's going to bring most of his team back.
Unless he wants to bring them wherever he goes.
Next year. So,
a la Baylor.
But, you can win at BYU next year. I think it might be a little bit different if he was facing starting from scratch. But we'll see.
Yeah.
It would appear BYU has a really good coach in place, though. So I'm sure they're going to do everything they possibly can to keep him. Although, they just can't. You can't compete with the dollar figure from a school like Kentucky. So that's what makes it difficult. I mean, it's just like Danny Sprinkle in Washington. I mean, Utah State tried its best. Like, this is every penny that we could find on campus.
Yep.
And they couldn't come within,
country 50, mile.
50% of Washington. So it's a brutal game in that way.
I wish the game was earlier tonight. I wish it wasn't a 7:20 tip-off. It's surprisingly late for a college basketball
game. It always is. That's every year it's at 7:20.
I liked that the women's game yesterday was a 1 p.m. tip-off. We got to sit down and hung out with my kids and threw the game on and kind of did stuff around the house and watched the game. It was fun. I wish we would get, obviously, not 1 o'clock. We're all going to be looking at the eclipse midday today, but I wish it was, 6, 5:30, more prime time.
I didn't watch 1 second of the women's game yesterday.
Oh, no?
No?
Great.
Well, we're making some changes in the internet department. And so we picked a great time to do that because we didn't have any sort of broadcast television availability.
Oh, okay. Nothing.
And they've been streaming most of the men's tournament on Max,
mm-hmm.
but because they're obviously sexist, they did not have it streaming on Max for the women's.
It's on Channel 2, right?
But we don't have the rabbit ears because we're in transition, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just bad timing.
Yeah.
So I would like to have watched it. I would have watched it. We actually, as a family, scheduled to watch it.
And then the cable company had her. Your internet provider had a different idea.
And then we did not watch it. So I'm sure it was magic.
Ah, it was a great start. Fizzled towards the end. Credit Iowa. They kept coming back. The talent at Iowa is so different than the talent at South Carolina.
Yeah, I thought Caitlin Clark's quotes after the game talking about how she didn't regret choosing Iowa. I thought that was really interesting because women's college basketball is different from the men's in a sense that the talent isn't as spread out. There's a reason that Geno's won 36 titles at UConn or whatever, or Pat Summitt won so much at Tennessee. And then you can throw in a couple of programs. Obviously, South Carolina certainly qualifies now. You know, you look at Stanford and like all the real talent is grouped in these, you know, 3 to 5 teams or whatever. And Iowa is not that. And so I thought it was cool that she if you wanted looking for a men's college basketball comparison, Ben, it'd be like, because she was the 4th or 5th ranked recruit in the country, I think, when she was coming out of high school. So it would be like a McDonald's All-American picking a Big Sky team.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I'm not trying to downgrade Iowa. The sport is just structured so different. I mean, you know, high-profile talent like that is going to UConn, South Carolina, Tennessee, Stanford. Who am I missing? But one of those 4 or 5 schools.
It was cool.
And she picked Iowa, and I thought it was cool that she said she didn't regret it. That's my point.
I saw a tweet yesterday that had the top 5 recruits from the 2020 women's high school basketball recruiting, and this was the order of them. Paige Becker's one at UConn, superstar. Angel Reese went to Maryland, obviously transferred to LSU, superstar. Cameron Brink, the big power forward at Stanford, superstar. Caitlin Clark, 4th, superstar, went to Iowa. Camilla Cardosa went to Syracuse originally, ended up at South Carolina, 5. That was the 5. I mean, those were the 5 we were talking about all month. Very cool that they all stepped up, lived up to the hype. They're all going to the WNBA. Very cool. Paige Becker's probably goes back to UConn. But anyways, a bunch of these girls are making the jump. Really cool.
Do you have a take on Taurasi Hayden? On Caitlin Clark, which wasn't really Hayden, by the way. I don't have her quote in front of me, but it was basically like, wait till she gets to the WNBA and plays up against these pros and stuff like that. Kind of she's in for a rude awakening kind of thing.
Every old head feels that way in sports, right? Like, Charles Barkley still doesn't believe in young players. Like, every NBA analyst is like, these new guys don't know how to play. It's like, I mean, they're all better than you are.
Well, it wasn't just her, too. It was Lynette Woodard, the one that she broke her record,
yeah.
And
she fired a shot
saying that she didn't. She doesn't think she did.
Yeah, it was bizarre. You know what the difference is going to be that I think a lot of people are overlooking, and I'm not trying to pretend that Diana Taurasi doesn't know 1,000 times more about basketball, especially women's basketball, than I do. But also, like, with all due respect to Iowa, like, she's also going to get to play with pro players. Like, she's the best playmaker I've ever seen in women's basketball. Like, yes, we can talk about, like, that she can shoot from 26 feet on average. Like, yeah, her shot making is absurd. She's the best passer I've ever seen from any women's basketball player. I mean, she makes reads that nobody makes. It's unbelievable how she plays the game. And now when she starts playing with better athletes that they don't have at Iowa and other professional female players, she's going to be her game's going to open up. It's not going to get worse. Like, I think she's going to step up and be one of the best players in the WNBA within months, if not weeks. I mean, she's really going to fit in perfectly.
I don't necessarily agree with that. And actually, I think it's kind of unfair to expect that because Diana Taurasi actually isn't 100% wrong. But, Ben, she's going to be a rookie. Like, LeBron didn't dominate the NBA as a rookie. Like, that just doesn't happen. She is going to be playing against grown women. Here's the thing, Ben. You as well. I've worked with a lot of ex-athletes. I've covered a lot of ex-athletes. I've interviewed a lot of ex-athletes. And there's one thing they all have in common. They are all super jelly of the people that are currently doing it.
Yeah.
Diana Taurasi probably hasn't made $3 million in her whole career. Caitlin Clark made $3 million this year.
Yeah.
Diana Taurasi is a brilliant player, as you say.
Right.
Has not gotten even 10% of the attention over her whole career
right.
as Caitlin Clark. And here's what makes former athletes, some of them, not all, but some of them really good analysts, is because they're jelly and they're going to step in and crap all over everybody.
Yeah, they're going to nitpick everything.
Which is what we want to hear. We want to hear opinions. We want to hear takes. We want to hear what Charles Barkley has to say. Yeah, he's super jealous because he was 10 times the player that some of these shoe clerks are, and they make 10 times the money he ever did.
Right.
And get attention and the glamour and this. I bet when Charles started his career in the NBA, they were still taking buses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's looking at the private jets. You know, I bet NBA teams flew commercial until the early 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And because the sport has grown so much and the money is so big, they all look back. What do you think our mutual friend Kyle Gunther, what do you think he thinks when he looks at Utah football now with the NIL and stuff? And no offense to Kyle, he's just our example here. He's super jealous.
Yeah, the starting center at the University of Utah, football, not basketball, probably gets a little bit of extra money in his pocket.
And they're not playing on AstroTurf in the bubble.
Right.
They have that beautiful football facility, right, which has all these great things.
Right. And they're not nitpicking over the second scooping right of pasta you take.
And so I'm sure part of him looks back and is like, God, these softy cakes have it easy. And they're just celebrated and lauded and coddled. That's not how it was when I played.
Yep.
Yeah, Diana Taurasi's super jealous. But it doesn't mean that she's not wrong. Caitlin's going to be a rookie in the WNBA sure next year. Now, I don't think anybody's going to pay attention enough to make those kind of judgments, maybe for 10 minutes. I think Caitlin's making a huge mistake by leaving and going to the NBA or WNBA.
We'll see.
I think the platform of women's college basketball is way bigger.
It's obviously enormous. I mean, we are talking more about Caitlin Clark now than we will about her probably for the rest of our career.
Unless she gets jailed in Russia.
Yeah.
And I'm that's a flippant joke, and I don't mean to be disrespectful.
No, I mean, it takes, unfortunately, to draw mass interest.
But Brittany Griner was Caitlin Clark before Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Or we don't talk about Breanna Stewart. There's a real chance that Breanna Stewart's the greatest female college basketball or female basketball player of all time, right? Like, four national titles, four most outstanding players at UConn, has dominated the WNBA since she's been in there. To her, to your point, she didn't even make an all-star game. Her rookie season averaged like 18 and 10, but her second season she took over and has been an all-star basically ever since, barring when she tore her Achilles. But yes, I mean, she's as good as it's ever been we've ever seen. We don't talk about Breanna Stewart.
Well, and I actually find the talk over the weekend about how we're seeing the emergence of women's basketball and women's sports. If I was Diana Taurasi, I'd find that kind of insulting. You know what I mean? Or if I'm Brandi Chastain or Mia Hamm or any of these people that have truly made their mark in sports, I'd be like, nah, dude, we've been around for a minute. You know?
Yeah.
We've taken the world
sure,
by storm.
Absolutely.
Brandi Chastain's like, I've done the Gatorade commercials or whatever.
Right.
It's the sustainability of it that is the challenge. And if Caitlin Clark actually accomplishes that, well, then I will talk about the emergence of women's sports, I suppose. But right now, like, yeah, it's gotten more attention than it ever has. And good for her, and she deserves a lot of credit. But yeah, if I'd come first and be like, what do you mean, emergence of women's sports?
Sure.
Cheryl Swoops is like, dude, I was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in the 90s. What are you talking about?
Cheryl Miller's like, I've been here. I've done all this before.
All of it.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely right.
So, I don't know. I think she is hating a little bit, the WNBA players, but I actually really understand it.
And it's par for the course for every athlete talking about the next generation.
It is.
It's par for the course.
You look back and you go, golly, back in my day.
And you know what?
Back in my day.
15 years from now, Caitlin Clark will probably be doing it to the next one.
Back in my day.
And
you
know what?
Should have seen her. I had a wave.
The nice thing is Caitlin Clark does not exist without Diana Taurasi or Sue Bird.
Exactly.
And they don't exist without Cheryl Miller. You know, and the next generation, which is going to be even better than this generation, will have grown up watching Caitlin Clark and realize, hey, I can play a different style of basketball than they played. I don't just have to be 6'7" and dominate the way some of the women have. And I'm going to take this next step and we're going to change the game and it's going to continue to get better. And that is the good part of
and
it.
And none of them exist without Billie Jean King, and none of them exist without Title IX. In an era where we're about to flush Title IX right down the toilet, let's show a little appreciation.
Yep.
All right, stay tuned. We've got more next. Top three stories coming up straight ahead. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day. This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Ben, the Masters is this week. That means You Went to Golf giveaway is back. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We're going to sign you a golfer in the You Went to Golf Major giveaway from You Went to Golf, of course. If your player wins, you win your player's brand of driver.
Whoa.
Nice.
Big daddy.
So Sarah will assign you a golfer, and then whatever brand that golfer plays, Ping, TaylorMade, whatever, you're going to get that branded driver. Pretty sweet. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We also want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Time for the top three stories of the day, kslsports.com. Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, the Jazz drop another game.
Hey, what was your takeaway on Friday when Will Hardy benched the rookies?
Good for him.
Huh.
But I mean, they were so terrible.
They were bad.
Will Hardy said never in his basketball life had he seen a start that bad.
No, I mean, yeah, Jazz were down 24-4 5 minutes into the game. That was the earliest I'd ever seen a 20-point deficit in the game.
And in large part, I think it's because players probably felt entitled to minutes and weren't playing hard.
And all three of them, I think, actually responded pretty well last night.
Like, oh, I agree, even though they got trounced in the first quarter.
They were bad again in the first, but, you know, Keontae had a night. He had a much-needed breakout of his shooting slump in the fourth quarter. We'll see if that carries over at all, but his shooting slump had really lasted almost a month now. It was like 3 weeks of really, really bad shooting. I thought Bryce had a good fourth quarter as well, and then Taylor Hendricks just did what Taylor Hendricks did, which is knock down open shots.
You know what's funny is I didn't think Keontae had a great game. I didn't think
he was it wasn't good until the fourth quarter.
And when the game was long over.
Yeah, and he helped, you know, it got down to
like
8.
8 points in the last, like, minute and a half.
Yeah, he did. But I think, honestly, just seeing the ball go in the hoop was important for him. He hasn't seen that in a very long time.
Fair enough, but how many assists did he have last night, Ben?
Only one.
And, like, here's a little challenge, and I hate picking on Keontae because I think that there are plenty of players, to your point about Friday night against the Clippers. Watch how much he runs.
Oh, yeah, he's...
The answer is none.
Yeah, he doesn't.
If he has the ball in his hands, he runs. I watched an entire possession of the Jazz on offense where he didn't... It was a transition, and Jazz set up their offense in transition or whatever. He stood in the same place the whole possession.
Yeah.
Even had a chance to box out and go for a rebound and just stood in the same spot.
He will do, I notice this a lot too, he will defend the first action. Like, whatever his first job is on defense, he will do it, and then he will stop for the rest of the possession.
Over.
Like, he will just stand wherever the end of that first action left him, and it doesn't matter if somebody pops out to the perimeter or cuts, like, he's not going to address that. And I didn't see that early in his career, which makes me think he's tired. And he's not doing it. But again, at this point, you should be better just kind of naturally reading some of
that's where the benching comes from. I'm sure they're digesting the film, and they're like, God, why aren't you running? There was a play last night, and last night was better, but this play still stands out in my mind. Colin Sexton made a layup where he was falling out of bounds. Golden State transitioned off a made basket, and Colin Sexton ran the whole floor and blocked the layup at the other end. You remember what I'm talking about? Why on earth is Colin Sexton the one back on that play after he just made the layup falling out of bounds?
Yeah.
That's all four other players on the court at the time not running.
Yep.
At all. You should never have a transition bucket off a made basket. Ever, ever, ever. Let alone have the guy who just made the basket chase down the play on the other end. That's crazy.
I'm with you.
And if I were seeing that as a coach, I'd bench everybody too. I'd be like, I'm not putting up with that. You're not in play hard and pass has been his mantra all year. He should stick with it. And if you're not playing hard, you're not going to play.
They played better yesterday. The whole team did against a worse Warriors team. Warriors are not as good as the Clippers, and the Clippers weren't great. But they bounced back and played a little bit. Again, they're designed to lose every game. They're going to lose every game. I don't think they're going to win any of their next four. Maybe they could find a way to beat Houston in their final home game of the season coming up on Thursday. But I'm not betting on it. There's still a chance that they could actually end up with the seventh worst records. They are 2 games ahead of the Memphis Grizzlies in the standings. I don't think they'll make that up in 4 games, but they could.
I don't think the losing is as frustrating as, like, this sounds so cliche, but the way they're losing?
Yeah.
Because the defense is non-existent. That was the easiest 32 points Klay Thompson has had in his career. Do you know how many Clippers players were in double figures on Friday?
Eight.
There's no resistance. And part of it's that Yurtsevin is their only big currently playing. And so the other team just has a layup fest. And that's somewhat...
Yeah, he refuses to rotate. It's funny.
But don't even put that on him. He's the only big player on the team.
Well, he's still got to rotate to the rim and he won't do it.
He'll
just watch the guy in the corner and be like, well, I guess that's not my job. And everyone looks at him like, hey...
Yeah,
you gotta get to the hoop, my man.
Do you think anybody's frightened of Lukas Šamanić?
No, of course not. No.
Jazz
are terrible.
But it's that. It's the resistance is so...
It's non-existent.
Is non-existent.
Yep.
That, like, the get after it factor is super low. And again, it's a bad circumstance, but a little more of that would be nice, I would think. All right, what's next?
Number two, the college basketball title game is tonight.
UConn, Purdue, 720. I'll be curious what the ratings on this turn out to be. I'm not a huge ratings guy, but this has been a fun tournament. I think it's been a really good men's tournament. It was obviously a great women's tournament. This has been a good season for college basketball nationally. I think people have been interested. There's been big names. There have been familiar names. I think that helps. Even if you're a casual fan, you know who Zach Edey is. You know, you're not learning about him for the first time. You saw him last year. If you watched UConn last year, you know Klingon. You know he's coming back. Big coaches. I mean, it's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I don't know if Edey's fun to watch. I don't put him in the fun to watch category, but he is effective.
And he's unique.
He is.
I mean, you've just never seen anybody like that. I've never seen a 7'4" player that dominant at the college level.
And I'm officially, you know, I kind of like Hurley, but I'm officially not, I'm done giving UConn coaches any credit.
Okay.
That's way more about the program than it is about the coach. Like, probably a brainless buffoon could win a national title at UConn, apparently. And you know what? If you want to look into it, it's probably because they pour all of their resources into basketball, men's and women's for that matter. But all of they, you wonder why their football team is bad every year? It's because they're like, did you ever watch Little Giants as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know where they're putting on the pads that aren't really pads? Mm-hmm. Like some kids like taping a sponge as a shoulder pad? That's UConn football. They're like, we'll give you enough money to barely keep the lights on. Keep the lights on only after the sun goes down. But we're pouring everything we got into basketball. That's a thing. And Purdue's a basketball school.
I'll be watching how they play defense. Alabama was effective because they challenged Stephen Castle to make threes, and he made his first two, but they still stayed off of him. I bet Edey doesn't start the game guarding Donovan Klingon, which is interesting because it's the 2 7-footers. I bet they use him off the ball to kind of come over and help.
Well, they don't want him in foul trouble.
Also, they don't want him in foul trouble.
What's next?
Number three, Ryan Smith asks Utahns about the potential NHL team name.
Just sent out this survey. Which I don't think you do on accident.
Do we know any of the candidates?
Let's look at it. I mean, we've heard the Yetis is kind of, I would say, the quasi front runner, but no, you sign up for a proposed name, you just throw your own name in. So you just suggest a name.
If it ends up being the Gulls, I'm going to be really upset.
You don't want the Gulls or the Golden Eagles?
Golden Eagles, fine. Gulls, no.
Why not?
I think it's ridiculous that that's our state bird. And I don't think we need to identify anymore with the bird that eats out of the trash. Golden Eagles, we have beautiful Golden Eagles around here. That'd be a wonderful representation of who we are and where we live.
But
yes,
not garbage birds?
Not birds that are known for eating garbage and crapping on people. I don't like that that's our... You know our state bird is actually named the California Gull?
Yeah.
It's got another state's name. In the dang name. So, no, I don't want the Gulls. Anything but the Gulls.
I don't think it'll be the Gulls.
Yeti's fine. I don't know. But the mythical creatures is kind of isn't that already taken? That's like Seattle's thing?
Yeah. Kraken and... Is that all they have?
Yeah, right. But it's like how every team in the NBA all of a sudden started wearing teal after it was popular with the Hornets in the 90s.
Sure.
Create your own trend.
I think we'll see. I think Yetis make sense. Regardless, my hot take is I think the colors are going to be red, white, and blue. A, it's American. B, you get the red from the Utah fans and the blue from the BYU fans. And yeah, I think you can mix those together. So I could see that happening. Though, that is what the Colorado Avalanche are wearing, and they would be the primary rival, at least geographically.
Well, and Ryan Smith's a BYU guy. He didn't want any red in there.
Eh, I think he's smart to recognize. He's not trying to turn anybody off.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see. Who knows? It's so far down the road. Or it's like 3 months down the road. I really don't know.
I don't want the Yetis either now. Nope. The Kraken already, that's a thing.
Okay.
Like, I don't want the unicorns either. Mythical creatures is taken.
I mean, but it's only the Kraken only exists because it's a marine thing, and Seattle's a marine city.
And it's not Mariners. Like we're swimming in Big Feet.
But we're a mountain town.
And it's Yeti is it a gets mountain, cold.
And it's cold, and it's a cold weather sport. Yeah, I mean, it all makes sense.
You can't just take all mythical creatures just because they have the Kraken.
The Yetis makes it
yeah,
make
you
sense.
Can.
And the, again, Utah Yetis, U-Y, University of Utah, the U, Y, the Y, BYU. Be red, white, and blue. It kind of lays out perfectly.
What about the Losers?
Okay. Yeah, no one would ever make a word play on words of the Losers.
But we're famous for our luge.
For our luging.
Yes.
Constantly luging.
We're Losers.
Yeah, the Losers.
Yeah, I don't like fun. I don't like happiness.
Oh, what's not fun about luge?
Yetis is better.
Yetis. Oh, Yetis stinks. You guys are crazy. What? Want to remind you to join JJ and Alex Wednesday from 3 to 6 at the Dish Bros, 8034 South State Street in Midvale. We can do better. Come on.
Log on to KSLSports.com. He's going to be doing a big interview series with Jay Stevens, who works with us doing hockey stuff. Figure it out.
How about the Utah Aspen?
You got to stop using words like loser and aspen.
You know that the biggest living thing on the planet is a like grove of aspen down in what county is it? It's by Fish Lake.
Because they all share a root system, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not individual.
Like the whole forest is like one thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
I know.
That's pretty cool, actually.
The Utah Aspen.
It's not going to work.
Let's go kick some aspen.
That's what other teams are going to say.
Stay tuned. More next, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love. The teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
Personally, thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's going to lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. That we appreciate you.
That is South Carolina head women's basketball coach Dawn Staley talking about Caitlin Clark after defeating Caitlin to win the national championship. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Our 50 segment is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. I thought that was a classy move on Coach Staley's part. She didn't have to do that, which I thought made it seem more genuine. And I thought it was a nice moment.
You just can't look at what Caitlin Clark has done through a negative lens. I mean, it would be difficult to do that. And if you want to say, oh, she's in for a rude awakening at the next level, I think that's criticism that is fair. And we will see if she can answer that. But, I mean, think of the amount of money that's going to be generated in NIL deals for players next year that are entering college, whether they're high school recruits or transfers. Like, the cost for these women is going to go up significantly because people are going to recognize, like, oh, if we have the next Caitlin Clark, look at what that does for our school. So we want to invest in hoping we find the next superstar. So it's going to generate a ton of money for the women. Ideally for women's college basketball, and it's going to continue to grow. And like I've said a lot, I mean, I remember, you know, Rebecca Lobo coming up and like seeing her at UConn and like what a big deal it was. And Brittany Griner, and like every 6 or 7 years, it felt like there was a star coming through. And now it feels like it's about every 2 or 3 years. Like it's getting even better. There's a lot of talent coming up. And you know what? Investing in it, women getting paid, it's going to make the interest in it higher, and it's going to create better talent.
If all that's true about Caitlin Can we get our old man a bucket of popcorn or something? Does he have to be sneaking snacks into the game? For crying out loud. Just tell old man Clark, be like, bro, the concession stand is right over there. You don't need to, this isn't, you're going to be on national TV a fair amount, dude. Don't sneak snacks in your sweatshirt pouch like you're five.
He always has the big sweatshirt on. I like that he does it for candy.
Snacks in his pouch.
I do like that that's the secret, is that he doesn't just wear that because he's like a sports dad. He does it because he's a cheap dad.
Just sneaking in snacks. Kyle, I'm sure just talk to the SID or something. They'll rustle you up some popcorn or a hot dog or something. Yeah.
There's some Swedish fish floating around before the game that they can bring up to you specifically.
They caught him multiple times right on camera. And he's digging into that pouch and pulling out snacks. Have you ever snuck food into a movie theater?
No, of course.
Yeah, it's like a discreet experience. You got to be like, you're on national TV, dude. You're going to get busted with those snacks.
Yeah, you've got to recognize how much you're on TV.
I'm just picturing the camera guy like telling the producer every couple minutes, he's doing it again. Let's get to him.
These candies are in a Ziploc bag. They don't sell those.
Your daughter made $3 million this year. I bet she could figure out a way to get you some snacks for the game.
Yeah, correct. Or they'll give them to you as an advertising.
They will totally give
you can't strike a deal with M&M's?
You know, has Caitlin Clark really arrived if her dad's still digging in that pouch for some snacks? I don't think so.
You can't get a dad deal for Twizzlers?
Something?
So you proudly show it every time you're on camera? Just being like, her dad eats Twizzlers. That's where the kid came from.
Just pictured her dad walking into the game with like looking like he's 7 or 8 months pregnant because he's got snacks just weighing down. It's like if you've ever, snuck beverages into the movie theater and you walk in. Your clothes are just hanging off you.
Hanging tight.
Hanging off you.
They're so baggy.
Dude, I got 5 pounds of trail mix in this pouch.
Yeah, sneaking candy into a movie theater is tale as old as time.
Stay tuned. Tim Lacombe joins us next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today. And view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Who's got it better than us?
No!
Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's get out of the zone phone. His visit every week is brought to you by our friends at Spherion Staffing. You have better things to do than scramble to find your next great hire. Let Spherion Staffing do it for you. Visit them online, spherion.com/Utah. That's SPHERION.com/Utah. Joining us now, my co-host for Jazz Pre, Half, and Post, the coach, Tim Lacombe. What's going on, coach?
I haven't seen you for 7 hours.
I know. I miss you already.
We're down to four. Then there were four more games of the Jazz season. Totally crazy.
3-23 in their last 26 games. It's already tough. It's a little bit ironic that the Jazz worst run in team history was their very first 37 games of their existence. They went 3-34 and they're probably going to bookend their 50th season with another 3-25 or 3-27 stretch, I guess, if they lose out the rest of the way. What do you make of the last 30 games and what you've seen from the team, and is there anything to take from it?
Well, I think the minute the decision was made at the deadline, I think everybody, you know, that follows it knew what that meant. Considerable amount of depth, some veteran leadership that the Jazz leaned on was gone, and you know, it was kind of a course to play the younger players, and the old adage of, you know, you want to get old and stay old. Nothing against young players, but they have a lot to learn, and it's a process that doesn't happen overnight. I mean, we were watching Kuminga last night for Golden State, and it seems as though he was labeled a bust, and now he's really starting to come into his own. So everybody's on their own timeline, but I think that's what I make of it. Is when that decision was made at the trade deadline, it opened up the door for a lot of reps and a lot of development for some of these guys that hadn't had a lot of that. And I think that's been a very good thing. Certainly hasn't yielded wins, but I think there's been little wins along the way.
You and I talked about it on the post-game show a little bit after the Clipper game on Friday, but now that we have maybe a little bit more long form to talk about it, give me your thoughts on Will Hardy going away from the rookies in the Clipper game and deciding to kind of send a message.
I loved it. And I think that it's something that he's been great at this year. I think he understands the big picture, and, you know, you kind of have just a laissez-faire situation. And he said from the very beginning that these guys will earn their minutes and that nobody gets free ones. And, you know, where he was sitting in 6 minutes to be down to 26-7, it wasn't good enough, and he made, you know, a decision to have him watch for a bit. I thought they were markedly better last night from the outset. I think they're more tuned in. Some of the things that I've been hoping for, like, you know, Keontae to limit those turnovers, that was a better night for him last night. So, like I said, it's a long process, and just like parenting, you know, there's places along the way you got to put your foot down. And Will doesn't want to be a stick in the mud, and but at the same time, Will wants to lead this team to great things. And he's got a captive audience with young dudes right now that, you know, everybody hopes can make that impact. So this is a time to teach.
There's been a big kind of shift in narrative on Keontae George among Jazz fans that I've seen, where through really mid-March, which is not that long ago now, but it feels like a while, you know, he was the future face of the franchise, might be better than Lowry, Markkanen, et cetera, et cetera. And then these last, 13 games, 14 games since mid-March, he's really struggled to shoot the ball. Turnovers are through the roof. Like, A, what has been the difference? Like, what do you think happened? And B, where are you on Keontae George as a piece of the Jazz future?
Well, I think consistency has been a little bit of a thing all year in terms of shooting the basketball. But I think you could say some of that for other things, you know, running the floor back in transition, not making lazy passes, being in the right spot. So like all young guys, he's had some of those bouts. And, you know, I would say consistency is the thing that I think he's really got to lock into. As far as his scoring and shooting and particularly in this last stretch, goes, so much can be made of the spacing. You know, it's different when Lowry's out on the floor because he's got everybody's attention. And really, if you look at the starting lineup with Colin and Keontae, you know, within the rookies, the other two rookies, and then, you know, it's been Yurtseven or Walker, so no Collins. Spacing's, you know, not true. And Keontae is getting a little bit more attention, perhaps. The other thing to take note of is his minutes are stretched. I think when he was at his best, he was somewhere around 20 to 25. And, you know, he's having to play 30 plus now. So I think all of those factors cause him to not shoot the ball as well. But I think the underlying factor, honestly, is consistency in everything that he does. And I think if he can make that a theme for the offseason, it would serve him well.
Coach, if we took the Celtics and the Nuggets off the table, and I think you and I both agree those are the heavy favorites in the East and West, if we took them off the table, who would you pick to go to the finals?
Wow. Okay, so I guess in the East I'll go with the Heat because, you know, this is their time of year and it's like Jason gets up from, you know, his last attempt to slash somebody and puts the mask on, heads out there again. So I'll say Miami in the East because I think that they just have that toughness. And then in the West, let's go ahead and say, man, Dallas. How about Dallas just for fun today? They're playing unbelievably good basketball. Last night they were down 22 to the Rockets and came back and won the game by 11 in overtime. I was a little bit skeptical, particularly early in the season, but when they made those trade deadline moves of P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford, I think that changed the course for them. They're nearly impossible to guard, and now they have a little bite on the defensive side, so I'll throw them out as a wild card if I can't pick those other two.
The East is shocking. The Boston Celtics, no surprise, are the best team in the East. Milwaukee is two. They're 15 games back of Boston for the number one seed.
And they're bad.
And they're bad. I mean, they've lost four in a row. They lost three straight games where they were double-digit favorites. It's never happened before. They lost to the Knicks last night. The Magic, somehow, after their hot start, still sit at number three in the Eastern Conference. Good for them. They're probably going to open at home against the Indiana Pacers, which is not a first-round series I expected to see. And then the Knicks in Cleveland, which is really the interesting one, because obviously the ties between Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz and Donovan Mitchell and the Knicks. And right now, and we'll see how it finishes, the Knicks would have home court advantage. We are just hearing a ton of noise about Donovan Mitchell and an off-season trade and the Lakers wanting to pursue him and him maybe not picking up his player option, not for next season, but the season after that, which basically says, hey, Cleveland, you got to trade me or you're going to lose me for nothing. What do you think happens in Cleveland? What do you make of their season? What do you make of the Donovan Mitchell experiment with the Cavaliers?
Well, I liked the fact that they went after him. And, you know, I from where I sat, I always felt like there was no way that he would re-sign there because I think he's got his sights set on big markets. And, you know, I think that the Lakers or Miami or the Knicks, you know, even the Nets, you know, to get them close to home, they come calling. And I think, you know, those big markets really, really stand out to Donovan. So I thought he had beginning of the year and the way they were playing early was great. But I think as this stuff has started to kind of seep in, they've certainly battled a ton of injury this year. But they look to me to be a team that is having no fun. And a lot of the looks on their faces remind me of the looks we saw here for a couple of years. I think it's impossible to be part of an organization and trying to win all the while having all this stuff burning in the background about, you know, how maybe some of the guys on the team that seem like they're part of the team aren't really part of the team. And I think that stuff wears on a team. I really do. And to me, it looks like that's where Cleveland is. I would pick New York to win that, you know. If they were to match up and play each other, New York would, I think they would eliminate them rather easily because I see New York as a team that's kind of going the other way. They got a lot of toughness and really kind of have a defined understanding of who they are. And I think that in Cleveland, it's almost like they're renting that right now. They're renting this mystique or this who they are, and really it's not who they are. You know, it's just a mask.
Coach, and you were all over this story yesterday. You were talking about this happening before it happened, but what do you make of John Calipari selling out to Big Chicken and taking the Arkansas job?
Well, what I would say is you can never have enough friends, and then I would preface that with friends with influence and money don't hurt either. You know, I think it's a good thing for everybody involved. The deal at Kentucky had run its course. I think, you know, Cal forever got known as that one and done guy who just brought in these, for lack of a better word, glamour models, you know, to come play for 8 months. And the number of guys that rolled through there and the names that rolled through there, completely staggering when you look at actually what was accomplished. And so I think that, like I say, I think Kentucky was probably like really grateful, and certainly Arkansas is excited. So it's one of those, another great story where a coach beats the posse, you know, with pitchforks and lanterns. He beats them to the punch and goes ahead and exits. But certainly a huge story. I saw little remnants of it on Twitter yesterday in the morning, and I thought it was just something from April Fool's Day that had been residual. And as I started to dig into it, and some of the people that were talking about it yesterday morning, I was like, whoa, this might have some people that I trust, you know, that I've watched. This might have some teeth. And so I got to the studio, told Jake, and sure enough, you know, before we got off the air, it happened.
It's a pretty fascinating change, and obviously we don't know where Kentucky's going to go from a coaching perspective. Here's the hard part. I don't think Coach Calipari is going to have the same success in Arkansas that Musselman had, which is already a downgrade. It's a worse job in Kentucky, and I expect whoever goes into Kentucky probably has more success on the floor, maybe even not recruiting, but on the floor than Coach Calipari had in Kentucky. How do you think this looks in 3 years?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I saw somewhere, you know, it said last night that the balance of power is changing in college basketball, and I'd say hold your horses on that. Certainly Cal's going to be able to create a stir and a ruckus, and I think, you know, get some momentum. He's always been able to recruit. That's never been an issue. But I watched them play 4 or 5 times this year. I watched them play Gonzaga in Rupp, and I swear to you, Gonzaga ran the same play 14 times in a row and scored on it. And when I'm saying 14 times in a row, like 14 times in a row with very little to no adjustment. Offensively, you know, I thought Kentucky was so purposeless this year, just kind of a take 'em situation. So I would say that, you know, I would say Cal needs to kind of reinvent his staff and maybe get a couple of guys who are a little more current in the game. I look at his bench right now, and it's kind of just a, you know, it's the 4 or 5 henchmen that went out and recruited back when giving money to players was illegal. Now it's legal. Everybody can do that now. So those 4 guys are really kind of useless. I would go get 4 guys that can really coach. And then in terms of the way this looks, I'm with you. I mean, right now they're talking about some names, you know, but the names they're talking about, like Scott Drew, can really coach. You know, I know Danny Hurley's kind of a pipe dream. I know that that Nate Oates would be somebody that would be thrown out there. He just kind of looks the part and is an awesome guy. The coaching would be phenomenal. But yeah, I think what you said, I think Arkansas may get a little bump for a minute, but I do believe things may look up for Kentucky depending on, you know, who they hire, because I think everybody can get behind it now. I think that fan base had, you know, I think it was probably half and half or less than half and half people that really thought and supported, hey, this can happen, we can do good things, or, you know, this has run its course. So at least they can all get behind somebody now, too.
Who do you think wins tonight?
Connecticut.
What are you watching for?
I think it's going to be a great game. I'm excited to watch those two guys, two big guys. They're so different. You know, they're big dudes, but they're so vastly different. So I think that will be interesting, but I just think I watched Purdue really struggle, you know, with turnovers, and I don't know that their guards, particularly Smith. Smith looked shaky to me the other night, and this Connecticut team, from the time they take the court, they're going to be in your business. So I would expect this to be not a rout, but a double-digit victory for Connecticut.
Yeah, I think UConn's really athletic, and that's not what Purdue has done. You know, Purdue is actually not huge in the backcourt and very big in the frontcourt, and Zach Edey's going to get his. I don't think Klingon's going to be able to shut him down, but ultimately I think a guy like Stephon Castle, is going to be a name Jazz fans should watch tonight. Have you seen him, and what do you think about him as a potential draft pick?
Yeah, I love him. You can tell he's a guy who really, and this is a term I use, I always used to use when I recruited, but really knows the score, plays to the score. There's so many guys out there that are, you know, trying to get points when the game's out of reach. You know, guys are getting free looks and padding their stats. This guy, everything he does is in the guts of the game. He's tough. Obviously, they say his jumper's shaky, but we've heard that about guys, and they've come and really worked on it. It doesn't look totally broken to me, his shot. I really like the kid. I've been intrigued by him. I think he's been, you know, if not the most valuable all-around player, he's certainly been one of them this year at Connecticut. So I really like him. I think he may go higher than where the Jazz are unless, you know, we get fortunate and bump up a little bit. But I think he's moving up in the draft from everything I hear.
Where are you on Klingon as a draft prospect?
He's unique. He's interesting. I heard somebody the other day, I can't remember who, but to me, one thing I look about for the NBA are two things for big guys. Can they run the floor? He's certainly like a gazelle out in transition, runs the floor great. He's a rim runner extraordinaire. And then the second thing I think he does really well is side to side, guarding ball screen, proficient in drop coverage. He's a great on-ball and weak side defender. He's definitely going to be an intriguing look for teams because I think his best basketball is still ahead of him.
Circling back to this a little bit, we should have asked, do you think Pope, what percentage chance do you think he has of leaving BYU for Kentucky?
Well, this is what I do know. Mark he's done a heck of a job at BYU. I think he's one of those guys that, you know, he wants to win big. I think knowing him, national championship, you know, that's something every coach really dreams of. But, like, it's one of the things he's put on paper, you know, in bold ink that he really wants to do that as a coach. So I think it come down to, you know, if he could get it, I think it would be a no-brainer that he would go. I think it's one of maybe only a handful of jobs that he would. Because I think he's got an awesome situation at BYU now with being a power broker, you know, having some NIL money to throw around, and then coming off the heels of an awesome year. You know, he's got some things to build on. But the way I look at Kentucky, they're going to swing for the fences. You know, you try to get Scott Drew, the Nate Oates, the Danny Hurley. They're going to try to go, you know, and pull Jay Wright off of the set. You know, those calls will all be made. But I think when it settles, you know, and then maybe they find out that a couple guys are going to stand pat, one thing that would rally this fan base above all else is to bring home, you know, one of their own. And the one thing I do know is he's beloved there. They love him there. He went back while we were coaching together for a celebration and brought the house down, you know, pulled off his suit and was in a Kentucky uniform. So, I mean, I think he would definitely be somebody. But I just think the nature of this is very high profile. And so I think they're going to try to, you know, hire all the big names first. But I think they'll settle in on a working group. And I think Mark will be a part of that working group for sure.
Coach, you are the best. I will see you tomorrow night. We got a home game against the Nuggets.
Oh, we do? Okay.
I believe so.
We do. We're Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, man. And we're out.
Crazy. So. It's wild.
Yeah. Oh, you're not working.
Have an awesome day.
You're not working Friday?
You too, buddy.
Oh. You skipping the Friday game?
What's that?
You skipping the Friday game?
No, I said Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday.
Oh, I thought you said Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Check the tape.
Oh, maybe I didn't.
You're already.
Yeah, maybe I'll have you fill in for me. I'll call you.
You're already tanking.
Thanks, Tim.
See you guys.
See you, buddy. There is our friend Tim Lacombe. His appearance brought to you by Spherion Staffing, Spherion, Spherion.com/Utah.
It's kind of amazing Mark Pope made the NBA.
How long did he play?
153 games. Played 97-98, 98-99. played in the CBA in 2000. 2 more years with Milwaukee in 2000 through 2002. Back to the CBA and then played 03, 04 and 04, 05.
So he got a pension?
I suspect so, as long as he wasn't just doing the two smaller contracts to qualify. And I actually don't even know all that how all that works. But like his college stats are not – and I'm look, he made the NBA. Like, he made it. I'm not trying to say he wasn't worthy of it at all. It's just kind of crazy.
Kind of sounds like
That's exactly what it sounds like. 2 years at Washington, 10 points, 8 rebounds a year basically. Transferred to Kentucky, 8.6 rebounds his first year, 7.5 rebounds his second year. Just kind of interesting. Kind of interesting to see those types of guys. Now, again, kind of unique because at his size, he started shooting the three, even at Kentucky in that early age. And, you know, that always provides intrigue. Didn't take a lot of threes in the NBA, though. It's just not the type of guy that would make the NBA today. It's a different era. He'd be the first to tell you that.
Keep digging, buddy.
No, it's funny that he is that. It's also funny that he's that beloved at Kentucky. Oh, fine, I'll say it. Mark Pope wouldn't make the NBA today. I'm not feel bad about that. He doesn't owe it to me. He did make the NBA.
Just said you're surprised Kentucky fans even cheer for him. He was so bad.
I said I'm surprised he's that beloved.
Because a player that terrible should never be beloved.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's exactly what you said.
No. Like when you consider the rich history of college basketball at Kentucky and the names that are in that group.
How would a crappy player like him even be notable?
Sure. That's what you want to pretend
I'm
saying?
That's exactly what you're saying.
What
I didn't say it, Coach Pope. That's Ben Anderson.
I said it's amazing he made the NBA. That's a success story. That's a guy who didn't have a standout NBA or college career, especially when big guys were big guys, and they had these college players that would play 4 years, and by the time they were leaving college, they were averaging 20 and 10. Those guys made the NBA back then. It's not what makes the NBA today, but guys like Mark Pope got into a training camp, obviously, and wowed everybody. It's awesome. It's a crazy story. It's not something you see very often.
He must have bribed his way onto the team or
Royce
something.
Royce O'Neal, his era.
Not good.
A Royce O'Neal.
In the
out
NBA.
Of nowhere. Didn't get drafted. Good four-year player. Had to spend some time overseas, but ultimately it worked out.
How would you feel if your high school English teacher found out what you were doing for a living? She's like, wow, it's amazing. Ben
they
is
all
a writer.
Would say that. They would all say that. Are you kidding
me? It's incredible.
Me?
That guy couldn't
Dr.
put three
Jameson,
words together.
My English professor in college, she would be like, him? He made it?
A guy with that little skill is writing for a living?
So our first day of class, we were learning about, this was a class called Enlightenment to Romanticism. And it was the two eras of kind of this philosophy where Enlightenment was all about this idea that like we need to record all of the knowledge that we have on the planet. It's where thesauruses came from, dictionaries. Like this group of thinkers started saying like, hey, let's document everything. And then the Romantics were like, they switched. They're like, we're too academic. We need to get back to just like enjoying life. That's where a lot of the great poetry came from. So anyways, our first day in class, it's this big auditorium. And she says, I am what I am. Who said that originally? And it was, you know, one of these writers from the Enlightenment era. And more educated people know that essentially my understanding is Jesus said something of that ilk. I am what I am. And I raised my hand and I had said, Popeye said that. she wasn't looking for Popeye. She was looking for Jesus. And I went with the cartoon sailor.
Now that guy is writing for a living. It's amazing.
Now he's the writer from the class.
Adult like that. Actually is writing for a living. Kyle's surprised he gets his shoes on his right feet. On the right. Mark Pope.
Sorry, Dr.
Kyle, I can't believe somebody like that would get into the NBA. Somebody with that little skill, little going for him. Kyle, what happened?
Call the show, Mark, if you want to talk.
Stay tuned. More next. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
What's that?
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I want to remind you about Win Ticket Wednesday. Don't miss your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. This week on Win Ticket Wednesday, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Sam Hunt at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater August 3rd. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. Speaking of chances to win, the Masters is this week. That means the Uinta Major Golf giveaway is back. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We're going to assign you a golfer competing in the Masters this week. If your player wins, you win that player's brand of driver, courtesy of our friends at Uinta Golf. So be caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. You going to be dialed into the Masters this weekend, Ben?
Sure. Who's playing?
Fuzzy Zeller.
Okay. How's Davis Love been?
That was a rant. I was just trying to think of an old golfer. How did that come to mind?
How's Davis Love been?
I don't think he plays.
How did he play last year?
I don't think he played well. Gary Player, I think, is the favorite.
Okay. In on it?
Bobby Jones.
Whoa.
Way back.
Still using the old clubs?
Going to the way back. It's kind of wild. Golf season is here.
Yeah,
you know
what?
We're
fully here.
This 2024 so far has just flown by.
Christmas summer.
With a little.
We do it about 85 times. That's what we get.
With a little spring snow mixed in.
Once in a while, you get three or four springs.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, March Madness ends tonight. NBA basketball playoffs are basically here.
Yeah. No, the season's over.
Yep.
I feel bad, even though it's not my responsibility at all, though I cover the team, and I hope people enjoy the coverage. But sometimes you are a victim to the team that you cover. And I'm not pretending I'm a victim, you know.
Yeah, what are you
talking
about?
Very good job. I wish the season was more enjoyable for Jazz fans. Like, all I see on Twitter is how miserable this is. I wrote about a bunch last night, the worst stretch for the Jazz in basically 50 years. This 3-23 stretch. It's as bad a basketball as I've ever seen in my life watching the Jazz. You know, it's a low. And again, it's with a purpose. They believe that this is positioning themselves to strike when the Milwaukee Bucks fall apart and Giannis Antetokounmpo asks for a trade. You know, that type of situation. It's what they are positioning themselves to do. But, man, this has not been a fun season. Like, last year, the Jazz didn't win a lot of games. I thought last year was a far more enjoyable season to watch than this year has been. This has been one of maybe going back to the Carlos Boozer first year with AK's injury and Boozer's hamstring and all those issues, Memo not living up to expectations his first year, as unenjoyable of a basketball season as there's been in Utah, maybe ever.
When fans say that, I'm not saying you do, but when fans say that, it sounds like they're blaming the team.
Okay.
Are you?
The team meaning the players?
No, the team meaning the Jazz, the organization.
Yeah.
They didn't create the system. It doesn't behoove them to win basketball games. That's not the...
No.
The Jazz didn't create the NBA system where it's actually an advantage to lose. Why? Like, what's the criticism? Because the criticism at halfway point is... You know it's in your best interest to suck, right? What are you doing? And then they suck. And now people are going like, well, how dare you suck this bad? What are you talking about? Is it in their best interest to suck or not?
It is.
And that's not their fault.
Right.
That's the NBA's fault.
That is the NBA's fault.
If you don't like it, then stop watching the NBA. Then it just makes me laugh that the very same people are like, man, this clinic is too good, man. He's winning too many ball games. What are the Jazz doing? Are you kidding? And then they suck, and everybody's like, "Oh, you suck too much," or you should have sucked less over a longer period of time,
more.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just so stupid.
Yeah,
and it's not the organization's fault.
Okay, I'm with you on that. I think you're making a good point, but I still wish this was a more enjoyable season. Like, I think there are actually ways to tank and be more enjoyable than this Jazz team has been.
I don't know about that. And you know what? The fans that go to the games, even though they lose, seem to be enjoying themselves. They're packing the stadium still.
The arena sells out.
I was here during the last rebuild, and they didn't sell this many tickets to the last rebuild. And I don't feel bad for the young kid that went and had a great time at the basketball game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't buy into that. I feel bad for Jazz fans. I don't. This is the sport. This is what comes along with it.
I think it can be both. I think you can hold both. And I think that's what Jazz fans are doing.
That's what Kevin O'Connor tried to do, and he couldn't get over the hill, over the hump. No, and everybody held it against him.
What I'm saying is you can hold both emotions. You can be mad that the team is this unenjoyable to watch at the moment, and also...
But be mad at who? That's my point.
Sure, okay. If you want to say that the anger at Danny Ainge and Ryan Smith and Justin Zanuck is misdirected, I think that's probably
fair.
You
should be mad at Adam Silver.
I think that's fair.
You should be mad at the league. These rules are stupid.
Yeah.
It is stupid to reward losing. It is dumb.
Yeah.
Now, if the league didn't reward losing and the team really sucked, well, I'll jump all right on board. And that's the team's fault. But in this, how do you build a championship? That's what everybody asked of Ryan Smith. The first question at his press conference after he bought the team, after all the formalities, was, are you in it? Are you in it to win a championship? Well, this is how, how you have to do it. This is a strategy. And it's, by the way, it's a strategy that people understand. So who are you mad at?
And I think there is a chance. I'm not going to say it's, I don't know. Well, there's a chance this is the most productive Jazz season in a very long time. Because they did a lot of the unfun work. You lose games, you get a high draft pick. You invest a lot in these three young players, Keontae George, Taylor Hendricks, Bryce Sensabaugh, and you hope that this investment that you've given them over the last 30 games really turns into something that you reap the reward of down the road when you're expecting to be good again. That is what you're hoping. You traded away two good players in Simone Fontecchio and Kelly Olynyk and throw Ochai Agbaji in that group to get two more draft picks. Like, it has a chance to have a lot of payoff, but the payoff is not immediate at all. It's ways down the road that you're going to see any of this. And then you have to hope that those things actually do come true, come to fruition, but it has not been fun to experience for Jazz fans.
Now, to your point about last year being more enjoyable than this year, or about even to the people who say, oh, you didn't suck right away, or you haven't sucked long enough, or all that. Answer me this. If people are looking at the Oklahoma City rebuild as some sort of blueprint, how did the season go with Oklahoma City the year after they traded Paul George and Rusty Westbrook?
They almost make the playoffs?
They made the playoffs.
They made the playoffs with Chris Paul.
They
right?
did. And they were this big story on how, oh, they chased all their players away, but they still made the playoffs. Probably not in the best interest of the franchise, but it's hard to blow apart an entire team and suck overnight.
Yeah. Even then. Right.
Even then. So people are like, well, the Jazz didn't suck enough last year. Well, you know what? It's really hard to chase everybody away and be bad enough to be the bottom of the league overnight. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because you brought back players. You brought back Lauri Markkanen and Colin Sexton. The Thunder brought back Chris Paul because it's the only contract that you could have traded Rusty for.
The Jazz are demoing a house, and they wanted to make sure that they held onto the copper wire and whatever vintage furniture instead of just bulldozing it to the ground and saying, we're throwing everything out.
I don't even know if it's possible to bulldoze it to the ground, honestly.
Oh, and
overnight?
And
I don't think it is.
Don't think the Jazz feel, honestly, that they can get to the bottom of the standings. Period. Like, the Jazz don't believe they could get to 15 wins unless they just give up on Lauri Markkanen, and I don't think that's the plan.
I don't think fans want that either.
No, fans don't want that either.
It's like, who are you mad at? You know? Like, I guess I feel bad that you're mad, but who are you mad at? And what do you want? It's so funny. People complain about Larry Miller for years. Oh, you do just enough to make the playoffs. And then now the ownership is going the entire opposite approach where it's like, okay, we're going to bottom out and we're going to do this way. And fans are still like, well, I didn't know it was going to get this bad. You didn't?
Yeah. It is a catch-22. It is a catch-22.
You can't win.
Yeah. And the ultimate issue is it's like, also the Spurs, who tanked at the exact right time, and we'll say this time, I mean, obviously you can go back to Tim Duncan and see how well that worked out. The Spurs are not guaranteed a title with Victor Wembanyama. And the Boston Celtics are not guaranteed a title for winning 68 games this year.
And the Spurs didn't just lose one year and got Tim Duncan. They've missed the playoffs five consecutive years.
Right. And have
have no hope of climbing out anytime soon.
And have thought they've had guys that, you know, turn into Josh Primo. You know, like they've had guys that they thought, okay, we got our difference maker. This is the person we're going to build around. And they don't. Those players never panned out.
So people's expectations are funny to me. But the same people complaining about them not sucking enough are now the same people complaining about them sucking too much. And it's like, one, that's ridiculous. Two, who are you criticizing?
Well, I think the word you use there that's most important when it comes to fun is expectation. And we've talked about this a lot. There were zero expectations going into last season they exceeded those expectations and everyone enjoyed the year, even if you want to criticize them for not tanking enough. But when the Jazz were 12-3, there weren't a lot of fans saying, look, I'm not buying tickets to this team until they start tanking, because this is the wrong plan, because you were having fun. And it was fun to watch Lauri Markkanen be the face of an all-star team locally and Jordan Clarkson be the, you know, be at all-star weekend and compete in the skills challenge with Colin Sexton. Everyone was happy to see Walker Kessler going out there and surprisingly winning games for the Jazz, because your expectations said that was not going to happen and they exceeded your expectations. And then we set high expectations for this team this year because of what they did last season and they were worse, and you don't meet or exceed those expectations and all of a sudden it feels like a failure. But I do still have sympathy that it wasn't fun. This is an entertainment business, and the entertainment was lacking.
I don't know, Ben. I've had to sit through them all. I've been entertained plenty.
It's because you hang out with Tim Lacombe.
No, oh, I know.
You've been entertained by Tim Lacombe.
No, I mean, no. Last night, Klay Thompson was entertaining. I mean, he was taking apart the Jazz, but he was entertaining.
That is a luxury that you and I have, because we don't root for the teams, and we honestly don't care, with all due respect, if the Jazz win or lose, that we can enjoy what else is going on the floor.
Didn't the Jazz surrender 18 dunks the other night to, who was that, Dallas?
Dallas.
Enjoyed all 18.
Yeah, I like Daniel Gafford.
Entertaining.
I like watching him play.
No, my point is the NBA is entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're bummed when your team doesn't win, but you can have a great time going to the Jazz game still. I get grumpiness kind of, but I don't think that you're correct in being grumpy, let alone correcting being grumpy with the Jazz front office. Hey, I'm grumpy with the whole thing with the NBA, and I'm frustrated that it will never change, but it is stupid. Why would you ever reward losing? Why would you ever try to lose?
They will keep putting cats in this wall. They will keep trying to change
Always,
the lottery.
And it won't fix it.
I'll be curious if they ever find a way to do it. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, get rid of it. Get rid of the draft. Or I still love the flat odds for everybody.
Yeah, I think flat odds for everybody. Though I would do lottery. You want to do all 30 teams.
All 30 teams.
Celtics get the number one pick. We're adding Wemby. Okay.
Awesome. And you know what? And Detroit added Darko Milicic. How did that go?
Yeah.
I mean, it's no guarantee. Just like it's no guarantee for the crappy teams that they're going to land a superstar.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, there's not.
It's no guarantee.
So you might as well try and be okay.
Why not?
Yeah.
Wrapping up the show next. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. I want to remind you about Peach Doors and Windows. Peach is Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Ben, I feel bad for people that are going to be on the road with me on the way home today.
You're going to have three pairs of sunglasses on?
I'm going to stare right at the sun. As soon as I get outside, I'm looking right at it.
I'm running over to Jazz practice after the show, and I'm curious if we can get a timeout at 12:32 to watch the eclipse. I'm going to ask.
It started already around here, right? It started at like 11:20-something.
Oh,
and
did it?
It ends at like 1-something.
Yeah, but it comes to its fullest, I think, around what, Jake?
12:30.
Or Ben said.
Oh, go outside right now.
Stare right at it.
Yeah.
I don't see it!
I don't see it. I don't see anything.
It's got this big black spot all over my vision.
Where are you on eclipse? Give me your take on eclipse.
I don't care.
I will look at it today. We get told this is once in 400 years that this happens, and I remember the picture of President Trump staring at the eclipse, and I have a picture of my son when he's 12, when he was 4 years old, staring at an eclipse. Like, these once-in-a-lifetime eclipses seem to happen every 3 or 4 years. It's crazy.
Yeah, whatever. Call me when Halley's Comet is back.
Yeah, that's the big deal. That's the real one. But yeah, these events that you'll never see again, I've seen so many in my lifetime. It's kind of enjoyable.
Do you think the world's ending?
No. Huh? Didn't we have one like 10?
Is the world going to end? Is that what you said?
Yeah, well, there was like a bunch of notices that were released about
rapture.
Stocking up on food and water and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's just the preppers trying to sell goods.
Did you buy any?
That's the you know what? That's the good folks who make ammunition and we're trying to have a big payday.
Go the opposite direction. Get rid of everything. Right? Just sell off everything. It's the end.
Well, what do you need that money for?
You can go on a quick vacation. What do you need water for?
Do you think the world's ending? Is this our last show, Sarah?
No, I don't think so. I was just curious.
I hope this isn't our last show, regardless of whether the world's ending. Jeez.
No, wasn't there an eclipse like 10 minutes ago? My neighbors went to...
like 2017 or something?
No, like this year. They went to... Or maybe it was last year. I don't know. They went to Bryce Canyon to see one. Yeah,
you and I were doing a show, and the guy was talking about how he was going to travel, the guy that we were talking to.
To see the eclipse, yeah.
Yeah, he had sleeping bags.
It seems like there's one of these things every 10 minutes. No, I don't care.
I'm totally with you. So I will look at it, but I'm with you. This idea that, like, this economic boon, it's like, what do you mean? Just watch the national championship game tonight. Have fun. That's once a year.
Gave Lloyd an excuse to buy 12 new guns.
He's going to shoot at the moon.
Stay tuned. Hanson Scotty coming up next.
Thanks, Sarah.
97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.